Comedy Entertainment was getting to be a real bore.
I got me one!
Until one man...
Excuse me, sir.
Found his true calling.
What are you doing in here?
I live here first, Nate. People build a house around me.
Okay. He should have his own show.
I'm gonna take you to Hollywood and build a TV show around you and your talent for getting arrested.
I hope you don't mind becoming rich and famous.
Hell no. Ronnie gets arrested, get him in the car, get the car pulling away, boom!
You're under arrest.
You can't arrest me, you're a hooker.
I'm undercover.
Well, then you shouldn't be hooking.
Officer, he took my hair.
There he goes, officer!
Run, Ronnie, run!
Only in Hollywood!
I have a surprise for you.
He's glorious, like an angel sparkling loogie.
Don't you do it!
Put it down.
I got me a chain!
I'm chilling!
I know they talking about beer, but I can think of another pair I'd like to grab.
Oh, New Line Home Entertainment presents.
Come on, dog, eat that vomit.
I'm sorry, that was an inappropriate scene to show here.
Now you better run.
The story of a nobody.
Let's have us a champagne jam. Yeah!
Who became somebody.
Got a beer in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Oh, no. No, that's a hard-on. You gave that to me.
By offending everybody.
This goat ate my shoes and my shirt and my hat and my wallet. Arrest this goat! Arrest him!
Yellow.
Ronnie, it's Terry.
Oh, hang on, he's right here. Hey, man, it's for you.
Run, Ronnie, run.
No, it's me on the phone. I'm on the phone. Okay, yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. It looks like he's on another call.
Run, Ronnie, Run. Available on DVD and VHS September 16th.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Movie Umpers. My name is Bob Sham.
I'm Angela.
And the sounds you hear may be dogs. Mm-hmm. And we like to talk, we hunt movies consensually around here. And this month we are having our theme for April called Awkward Laughter 2 The Flop. It's our second Awkward Laughter. Check last year for the few slapstick comedies we discussed. But this month we're discussing movies that didn't quite hit at the box office or perform maybe to expectations. We're reevaluating some of these so-called flops years after the fact to see how they hold up today.
Yes.
And this movie is a little bit different than the other ones because this is, I believe this is the only movie that it did premiere at the Sundance Film Festival in 2002, but it did not have a theatrical release. It was straight to video, DVD.
I did not know that, so no one picked it up.
There was a studio behind it, but they chose not to put it in theaters. New Line Cinema. And so, now this movie is, there's actually a lot of contention, a lot of bitterness looking back on this movie. We're talking about the movie Run, Ronnie, Run, directed by Troy Miller from 2002, and it's written by David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, Scott Aukerman, BJ Porter, and Brian Posehn. And it stars David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, Nikki Cox, Lee Ermey, David Koechner, MC Gainey, tons of comedians.
Tons of people.
That were big at the time.
Mr. Show was big at the time.
This is, I mean, it's not an official Mr. Show vehicle, but it, because I think the players involved wanted it to be like a separate thing. They wanted to avoid basically what happened with the Kids in the Hall movie.
Absolutely.
And they wanted it to be like a comedy that is the style of Mr. Show, but seems like something that people would just go and draw themselves to. And then the idea is that they'd be drawn into a weird comedy that seems like it's for a broader audience, but then just gets weirder and weirder.
Weirder and weirder. And for people who love Mr. Show, this is your movie.
When I was in the 90s, like from mid-90s to like early 2000s HBO,
mm-hmm,
was literally some of the best television ever. You had Mr. Show, you had Tenacious D, you had The Sopranos, mm-hmm, you had Deadwood, you had The Wire. Like all these shows came out during this time. Mm-hmm. And I had told my grandma I got a $20 a month allowance in the 90s. And I remember I told my grandma, this was my trick. I asked for an allowance. $20 a month, even in the 90s, that's not very much. But then I was like, I want HBO, so keep my 20, and we'll just get HBO. And that happened right when shows like Mr. Show and The Sopranos started to air.
That's great.
So I was on the ground floor. And Arliss. You remember Arliss? Oh, and the Larry Sanders Show, too, yeah, was very big. Did.
Yep, Larry Sanders.
I still love that show. This movie is basically a Mr. Show movie, but unofficially a lot of writers involved.
I just wanted to point out that $20 was kind of a lot in the 90s. You could get 40 tacos for that.
Oh, that's true. I mean, especially when you're like 13, 14 years old, that's a lot of money, right? I would have spent it on comic books otherwise.
Oh, for sure. I would have spent it buying more DVDs from that mail off. Or CDs from the mail-off.
The Columbia.
Columbia House.
Get 10 CDs
for a penny. I did so many of those, then you cancel them.
Yeah.
But you forget to cancel them for a little while.
How many Matchbox 20 albums do you need?
Oh, yeah.
That would be that kind of, like, what they played on VH1, that's what those catalogs were.
You'd literally get everything you wanted plus one or two things you weren't really sure about in the initial pick, so then you didn't want anything else from that catalog.
This movie had a cult appreciation amongst my friends, my stoner ass friends in the day.
Yep.
This was, I remember in the early 2000s, you'd go into like Hollywood Videos or Blockbuster Videos and you could get like 5 VHS tapes for like $10, $20. Seemed like an amazing deal at the time. Oh yeah. And so a lot of movies we're discussing this month I acquired through those means, and this is definitely one of them, one that we passed around, and my friends and I enjoyed the movie, but there's a weird contentious history with this movie because Troy Miller, the director, who had also worked with Bob and David on Mr. Show, when it came time, when the movie was shot and all done, and it came time to edit the movie, Troy Miller had apparently shut Bob and David out of the editing room.
What?
And at first they were like, okay, well, you do a final edit. You'll do an edit, but it's not the final edit.
Final cut.
You do an edit and we get final cut and then we'll do our edit. We'll see how yours is and we'll see how ours is. And this is also a case similar to Ishtar,
yeah,
in which there was an executive involved that really was supportive of them. And then that executive got flushed to the side by more powerful executives, and then no one really gave that much a fuck about it. So the bureaucratic layers that gave Bob and David control specifically went away, and then when it came time to where they were going to do their edit cut, they couldn't get a hold of the movie itself. And so Troy Miller, who they had worked with, and I'm not sure why, and apparently David Cross would work with Troy Miller again. He directed episodes of Arrested Development. But for some reason, Troy just kept the film itself from a final edit from them. So then it was this weird situation in which, okay, well, we didn't, because of all this shit, we didn't have final edit control of the movie. It isn't exactly how we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
They had some complaints regarding to where, apparently the movie, and you can kind of see the outline of it because it does go into like little bits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like how a Mr. Show episode would just go into itself and become more and darker and absurd and funnier. And in the Troy Miller cut, you kind of see where like maybe they might have a flow into where Ronnie goes, and it makes maybe a little more sense when they get into the 3x1-1 video, the R&B groove video.
It's gonna make the night Lincoln was shot look like a peanut.
A peanut girl, a lonely little peanut.
Like a pirate in the night, challenge your pussy to a fight. And pussy diddle doo, I stuck my penis in your thoughtful vagina.
That video is still funny in and of itself, but it does kind of just seem like it just happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like there is something like an awkward flow to the whole movie itself. It's, even though these guys are talented, they're funny, and I do think this is a pretty good movie.
I do too.
But you can tell that it doesn't flow like the way you might see these guys try to do a project. Then it was like, okay, well, let's at least get this into theaters, and it's not what we want it to be, but at least we can use this to launch into other vehicles. Kids in the Hall kind of had that same idea, I think.
Yeah, totally.
But New Line Cinema, opted after a year after it released in Sundance, over a year from January, it released in Sundance in January 2002, and it didn't go straight to video until September of the following year. So then this movie comes out, and I can also know that they're creative guys and they're perfectionists. This is a movie that Bob and David look back on and they're like, they're very dismissive of it.
Yeah.
They just, it's not exactly how they wanted it. Apparently there was one big umbrage they had with the way Troy Miller edited it, is that they didn't really want Ronnie to be very sympathetic, but it kind of does play up near the end that Ronnie's like, I am a person of the South. Ronnie's from Georgia. That's where David Cross is from. Mm-hmm. His redneck impression is really good.
Oh, yes.
Hey Ronnie!
Got breakfast?
What's your name?
Hey, Tanya. Kyle.
Hey, Clay. Sorry about your leg. Next time we out drinking, you should do the driving.
He really captures the end of the redneck pretty well.
There are some scenes in this movie when they're standing out behind the liquor store. It's very good.
And David Cross grew up in Atlanta, so.
Yeah. I know we have no idea why Troy kept it from them.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But if it was so that, because he directed it, right? Mm. And maybe he wanted to put out what he wanted and he didn't want it to turn into their movie.
And they still had to maintain contacts with Troy Miller and kind of try to butter him up, but try to fight for what they wanted at the same time. You know how that bullshit is.
Yeah.
And making movies is hard. And I'm not sure. Maybe Troy Miller felt like he had something to prove to them that he could edit this into something that was really funny.
But he ultimately, like, ruined it.
Based on how they see it, absolutely. And it's still a funny movie.
Yeah.
But it does make you wonder, knowing that backstory, could this have been, like, the one of the greatest comedies, like, of all time? I mean, because Mr. Show is one of the greatest skit comedy shows of all time. So, Ronnie Dobbs is a guy from Georgia. He's a redneck from some small town in Georgia. And he gets arrested all the time. And he's got these people he hangs out with outside the liquor store. My favorite side character is David Koechner as Clay.
That's all right, man. Guess what? I was a little bit wasted my own self.
Man, you two are regular old Three Musketeers.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. Touché.
Who was also narrating the whole movie. And there's little lines. I mean, regardless, like, you still got these super talented, funny people. And even if it is chopped up and edited weird, it is still, like, their humor. It's their humor that we're playing in.
Absolutely.
So it's still very entertaining. Just thinking about all, like, there's just, like, four or five just songs that they made up for this.
I thought that my home was my castle, with no one scrutinizing me. No pigs, no lion bitch, no hassle. Y'all are brutalizing me.
Jack Black appears and sings a song. I forget the context of why he even appears.
I can't remember Odenkirk's name. They're about to open mouth kiss.
Terry Twilstein.
And he stops the movie and is like, listen, this got really graphic and they're making us cut it out so that we don't have an NC-17 rating. But let me show you this.
Oh, there are several ways to irritate a lady. You could mention that her act's gone out of style. Oh, that's sure to get a miffed. It's bound to cause a tiff. But here's a little trick to go the extra mile. Give a
gas, a little kick in the cunt.
Was it set like
kick him in the cunt or something, like chimney sweeps or something?
Yes, it was like a Mary Poppins.
A kick in the cunt!
Ah, kick in the cunt!
Terry Twilstein, who has a bunch of failed things that he can't sell.
What's all these?
Oh, those are my babies. That's the salad evaporator. Sucks dressing off of salads. No one bought it. That's the vomit whip. Turns vomit back into food. And the fish magician hides fish.
He walks in and some of the crew that he works with on infomercials, they're watching, like, this episode of their version of Cops. And Ronnie Dobbs is on that show all the time getting arrested. And it really is funny to see how Ronnie's just going through this house and doing these little escapes and just being just slippery enough to get away from the cops. And there's a lot, like, just these little lines, and he's so fucking dumb that he has no idea what he's talking about all the time.
All right, you're under arrest.
What, you can't arrest me, you're a hooker.
Yeah, I'm undercover.
Well, then you shouldn't be hooking.
Come on, out of the car.
You're under arrest, come on out.
No, man, y'all need to arrest her, man. She's a hooker.
Now she lives
your police department That's is filled with prostitutions.
The narrator, Clay, he's always being, like, hurt in, like, the worst ways by the antics of Ronnie Dobbs. Mm-hmm.
But he always wants to be included.
But he wants to be included so bad that he makes excuses for Ronnie. He's like, oh, I was fucked up too, Ronnie. But he's getting the worst shit. Like, he becomes, like, practically paralyzed by the end. Well, he's like a brain in a jar.
Yeah, by the very end of the movie, he's gone.
Sure enough, watching this dude get arrested on TV, it blows up for Terry Twilstein and Ronnie, and he becomes famous.
And they travel all around the country, and he gets arrested in different cities just being himself.
Mm.
They basically Terry gives him some alcohol and lets it unfold.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, so, but at home, he's got these three little boys, this woman who he's married three times before, divorced three times, but they've been together their whole lives.
Mm.
And she says to him, you need to find what you're good at and make something of yourself, or I'm not going to marry you a fourth time. If you make something of yourself, we can talk.
Mm.
But until then, get out of here. And so the thing he's good at is getting arrested and being a jackass. We get so many fun little things. At one point, Terry buys him this ridiculous house, and they go up to it, and Ronnie goes,
Terry, I don't like museums.
No, it's a house. It's your house.
There's all this stuff that Terry says that is so homoerotic.
Hey, you ain't a cop.
My name is Terry, and I'm from Hollywood. Ronnie, you are not like other men. You've got something, special, and I want it badly.
Huh?
I want to be the man behind the man. I realize I'm coming all over you here, but it's been building up inside of me for weeks, and I can't control myself.
Ronnie's, like, a little too dumb to even pick up on the fact that it's overtly sexual. He just knows this weird man with a weird accent is, like, talking at him when they first meet.
Ronnie is truly insanely stupid.
Yes.
Hello, Ronnie, it's Terry.
Oh, hang on, he's right here.
Hey, man.
No.
Hey, I'm sorry. Looks like he's on another call. Can you call back?
No, Ronnie. It's me, Terry, speaking to you via the telephone.
Oh, man. Oh. Duh. Okay, I got it now. Okay. Hey, man, how are you? Hey, you know you got a phone call.
They have the rise to stardom and then the collapse. And Ronnie, he realizes this is the sympathetic part, he still loves his baby's, his children's mother.
But he's so dumb that he brings her out to L.A. and tries to make her jealous with Nikki Cox,
yeah,
who was like the beer girl
he saw on a display.
She leaves again, right? So he goes back to his hometown. He gets arrested for life. And they have to do this whole thing. There's a lot of shit going on, but the policemen in his hometown obviously hate him. If he ever came back, he was going to go to jail.
Yeah, he lets Terry take Ronnie out of Georgia with the promise that he'll never come back.
Yeah.
Almost in a weird way in which the month is accumulating into itself,
mm-hmm,
we get an appearance with Dave Foley and Andy Richter as producers who have to greenlight the show.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting how all these actors are just kind of coming back.
Scott Thompson is in this movie.
Yeah, you can't even remember the last time I've seen, like, Laura Keitlinger in anything.
Appeared,
she's a comedian, and she appeared here. She's popular at the time, but I haven't seen her
Kathy Griffin?
Years. Well, we've known what she's been up to over the years.
I know, but
yeah.
There's some really funny little moments in this.
Yeah, Gary Shandling's in here, late Gary Shandling. Sarah Silverman's in that producer's room.
Yeah.
We mentioned Jack Black with the kicker and the cunt song. Also, there's like this other spoof of Survivor.
Called Extermination.
Where when they get expelled from the island, it's got the guy from Full Metal Jacket, the drill sergeant. And when they kick people off the island, they eat them. And apparently Ronnie killed their ratings and got them canceled. So they end up kidnapping the then governor of Georgia's son. The kid really loves Ronnie. I don't know. It's kind of an insane trying to like thread this needle. But yeah, this kid ends up like, it is a funny scene where the fat kid kicking ass scene where he's beating up everyone.
And the song. Fat kid kicking ass.
The songs in the
is a great song.
The songs in this movie are among my favorite parts of the movie itself.
It's hard to talk about this movie. It's hard. We've talked about this before. You can't really describe funny things. It just needs to be watched. But there are some moments that are just amazing in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. It's a fun movie.
It's still a good movie. No matter how Bob and David look back on it. But it's good because of them.
Yes, it's because of them.
In spite of the editing, however they feel about it, it's still a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to watch Master of Disguise soon, all right? So...
I would love to see a cut that they did.
A Bob and David cut.
I would love the Bob and David cut.
Do they even have access to the film at this point?
Would they even want to?
They might not.
But I would love to see that.
Bob Odenkirk has become like a prestige actor now.
Absolutely.
Like practically a household name. I could understand if like he ain't trying to look back that hard, you know? But yeah, they all come back together, and Ronnie, they decide to, instead of have Ronnie get arrested because it fucks with his family too much, they decide to do a reality series called Ronnie Gets Rescued, where he's
I'm Ronnie Dove! Catch the ring! You catch the ring! I'm no fool, motherfucker! We're trying to save your life!
It's like Rescue 911 instead of Cops, right? Yep. But yep. When it's actually happening. But that's pretty much, just trying to think of anything else that's fun. There's a lot of funny things. Yeah, let's just rate the movie, I guess. You're going to give 1 through 5. I'm going to give 1 through 5. Combined for best out of 10. What do you give this movie?
I'm going to give it a 3.25.
I'm going to match it. I think a 6.5 is a perfectly respectable score.
Totally.
B tier rating. Who knows? Maybe the Bob and David cut could be S tier for all we know. For 6.5, Run Ronnie Run is right between Pillow Talk and Scream 6. And it shares the ranking with another movie we discussed this month, Little Nicky.
Oh, okay.
So Run Ronnie Run is at least as good as those movies, if not better. Up to y'all. We did get a lot of laughs out of it back in the day. We found it enjoyable this time as well.
Absolutely.
At least as enjoyable as Little Nicky. Right?
Maybe more so.
Honestly, some of the little small bits of humor are probably sharper in this movie than Little Nicky. That's fine. So, there you go. We got a couple of more flops on the way that we will reevaluate. And then we'll be going into a double dose of Lars von Trier. And then we'll be heading towards some deep space science fiction very soon. We got a new link in our link below this video or in the podcast show notes, however way you're consuming it, where we got a little free WordPress website where you can click on links, tabs to see where we have ranked movies and where they're at as of this recording. We do shift scores around after the fact sometime, but go take a peek. And it's our fun little free WordPress site if you want to see past scores and changes we've made over time. So like, subscribe, comments, corrections. Let us know what you think of Run, Ronnie, Run. You still love it in spite of its tumultuous history? It's still good. All right, so let's get out of here.
Justice for Ishtar.
We'll be right back.
dog. Eat that vomit.